Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parenting Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice, and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing.
You ready?
Yeah.
There's a lot to discuss here. Let me do the opening and we'll sort it out.
We don't need to do the opening. We've got to discuss this mic first. Don't do the opening. We'll come to the opening.
Right. There's a lot going on here.
Let's be honest. This clip isn't for the podcast. This is for Instagram. What the fuck is going on with your mic?
You know, but also, I want to ask why you're dripping with sweat as well, to be honest.
Because I ran back from school.
Right, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So, to address the sound issue
yeah,
at my new office, Michael sent me a link to a new
microphone.
Michael
shrunk you down to the size of a borrower.
So this is my new mic pop shield. It's fine. It is bigger than my head.
Oh, so the normal mic's inside that?
Yeah, it's like a Russian doll of foam. So I'm just gonna this actually works best for sound. So are you okay with this?
Sorry, you look like you're a victim of crime. We can't reveal who you are.
First of all, they just rang me up and asked for my bank details, but it sounded like it was the bank, so I gave it to them. Let me pull. What level does this mess insane?
It's so funny. I can't stop.
I feel like it looks like I'm getting sucked off by a nun. Sound is better though, but can you put up with this giant mic?
Well, I think Josh, you look awful.
After your run. You look like what's happened? You just, you're blood red. When did you get back from the run?
10-2, and then we had a bit of a panic and for 10 minutes.
Who had a panic?
Me and Rose.
Oh, what about?
So this is recorded in advance. We could admit that because we're going to Glastonbury.
It's not live.
No, but this will be...
It's all recorded in advance, Josh. That's how the world works. It's not, unless it's live.
So we're going to Glastonbury at 4 p.m.
You're leaving today. So we're recording this on the Thursday before. You're going Thursday night?
No. We're going to Tom Crane's house in Bath so that we can just nip in on Friday.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. So anyway, you're just texting.
Sorry, I'm replying. Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I'm replying to an email.
You've got to be fucking kidding me.
Sorry. It's important. Someone wanted to change a meeting and I need to say it's okay with me to do it now because by the time we finish recording this, the meeting will be near. So you've got my full attention now. I've replied.
This is unbelievable. You're smiling away to yourself, loving the fact you had a meeting being changed.
Oh, it's a terrible meeting. It's an accountant meeting as well. But I'm just, you know, I'm in a good mood today. I had an awful day yesterday. We can talk about that.
Oh, yeah, good.
Carry on. So you've got, are you taking the kids to Bath?
No.
Right, okay.
No. So we were planning on packing today.
Mm. Rose loves packing.
She made a point when she was in a really angry mood. She said she was going to give her view on this on the podcast because pack very quickly.
So this is your 10-minute little stress chat. Carry on. So what are you stressing about of Glastonbury?
Because Shell was meant to get her at 8:30, but she wasn't here at 8:50. And we hadn't heard from her, so we were panicking that we'd given her a later time.
To look after your little one?
Yeah, so that we could get ready to go to Glastonbury.
Right, yeah.
And we were panicking that we just told her, turn up when we leave to go to Glastonbury.
Right, okay.
And we're like, oh my God, where is she? She's not replied. We've told her 4 o'clock, something like that.
So does Rose go for a, like, sort of just covers herself in mud, shit and piss for Glastonbury the same way she does getting a fake tan to go to Greece? So that she's ready for it when she arrives.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Does she have to do that?
She needs to look like it's Sunday.
Looks like she's been at a festival.
Exactly.
When she arrives at the festival.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, cool.
We texted Shell, she didn't reply. Texted her again, she didn't reply. Then I phoned her and she answered and she's like, oh, thank God you phoned me. Because she's got a courtesy car at the moment because her car's failed its MOT or something.
Yeah.
She couldn't call us because there was no Bluetooth in the car. And so she was trapped. I've just realized it's a really boring story. But anyway, it was really incredibly stressful. Incredibly stressful.
I'd argue that's not that stressful.
It is, because you're suddenly going, the whole day's fucked, because this was our day when we were going to pack to go to Glastonbury. Rose has got a nail appointment. I've got to do this. Yeah. All these things. Suddenly, we're looking after our son instead.
Yeah.
So it was incredibly stressful.
Yeah, well, yeah, incredibly. I think you may have, it's like...
You don't live with me and Rose.
But you two, like...
I'm not saying Rose was projecting, but at one point, in the middle of it, she said, you're never going to build that wooden table that's a sandpit. We should just get rid of it. And I thought, this isn't the issue at the moment.
That's just another worry that's cropped up.
This is not the problem we're dealing with.
I do that, though. When I'm stressed about something, I'll start thinking of other things. You sort of like start bullying yourself with extra stuff. What are you shaking?
My protein shake.
Your protein shake. God, you're bulking up again, are you?
I just run back and I haven't had time for breakfast.
Okay, but it's all sorted. She's arrived now to look after the kid.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Oh, that's good. Yeah. So what time did she arrive?
Well, she was 7 minutes away when I phoned her just before the start of this podcast. So I imagine she's arrived just now.
Did you have that argument before you'd rang her?
Yeah, because we texted her twice and she hadn't replied. I wouldn't say it was an argument. Yes, I would.
No, let me pressure.
You don't need to. It was an argument.
No, yeah, I'll be a little around yesterday because we're both been a bit snappy with each other.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but it's just tiredness, isn't it? And you just get a bit narky.
The fucking light. The longest day can fuck off. My daughter was in at 6:15 this morning.
Solstice. Yeah, everyone just ends up going to bed so late. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Oh, my daughter. 6:15 in the morning. I was awake by 6.
Well, yeah, my kids begin up about 5, 6-ish every day. Yeah. It's hard work, man.
Oh, anyway.
But my brother's newborn sleeps better than my 5-year-old.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
It's really annoying. Intro, should we do the intro to the show?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
That's all right. I don't have to apologise. Hello, you're listening to Parenting Hell with...
Ready?
Can you say Rob Beckett?
Rob Beckett.
And can you say Josh Widdicombe?
I did a burn.
Josh Widdicombe.
I did a burn.
Okay, that would
be. It's a good one. It's a great one.
He did a poo.
This is Remy. I like that name.
Remy again? Well, didn't we have Remy before?
We did, yeah. It's very voguey. I bet a lot of people have gone Remy recently, I think.
Really? What, is that a Ratatouille kind of thing?
We can't do this again, Rob.
No, but I'm just saying, I've never heard the name Remy before.
Remy Moses used to play for Man U in the 80s.
Remy Martin, footballer. No, that's a drink.
Remy, was the drummer in the Stone Roses called Remy? No, he's called Rennie, wasn't he?
Remy Hirano, Japanese celebrity chef. Alfred Remy, American music theorist. What's that mean?
Remy Gard. Do you remember that played for Arsenal in the 90s?
Remy Gard.
Remy Gard. There we go. Any Remy's, Michael? Hello, this is Remy, who recently turned... Fucking hell, what an episode. Who recently turned 24 months attempting the intro. Yes, that was a fart during the bath time. Remy was born on the bathroom floor. Bloody hell. Back in June 2021, delivered by her father. Unplanned, I'm not a maniac.
Oh, wow.
Minutes before the ambulance arrived. Her sister Noah was born in February, also on the bathroom floor. Planned this time. Delivered by a midwife. Remy loves saying both your names and has perfected it, and I couldn't help sending in one where she farted to hopefully hear Rob and Josh's reaction. Keep up the good work. You genuinely make a difference. Dan and Jody in...
Oh, Winstanton.
Is that a place?
Yeah, Ashby de la Zouch.
Oh, in Leicestershire. No, Boreham Wood.
Oh, near the EastEnders set.
Yeah.
Used to smack there.
Elstree Studios.
Elstree. How are you? How are you, Josh? I mean, this is recorded just before. Are you excited for Glastonbury?
I am, yes.
Sober Glaston?
I am excited. I'm going to go for it, and I'm excited.
What do you mean by go for it?
I think you can have as much. I'm just going to have lots of fun.
Okay. That's a... I don't know, I just... that's just what a strange thing to say. It's like, that's a given, isn't it? Or like, how?
No, because I think when you're like, could have been like, I'm not drinking Shangun, and oh God, it could be a bit.
Yes, you're just going in with it an open mind to enjoy the experience. Not
yeah,
like,
I still love music. I still love hanging out with my friends.
You love music.
I love music. I love my friends. I love food.
The one problem I have is that I do have some acquaintances/friends that I do need to be pissed to spend time with.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you noticing that a little bit, that you sort of think, sober, I think you're a bit hard work, actually.
Yes, it's interesting who you gravitate towards when you're sober.
Right, okay, that'll be good to know. I'll make a note of that at the Glastonbury, see who you're near.
Yes, exactly.
Walk away from at 11 p.m.
How excited are you?
Me? Yes, I am. I'm excited. Again, I'm sort of... See, what's weird is you're going into it with a bit of, like, trepidation of, like, oh, I've never done it sober. I'm going into it going, I'm not sure if I'm going to like it, and I'm worried I'm going to hate everyone. However, I'm going to just go in, just a relaxed, chilled attitude, and just take it for what it is.
If you like meditating, mate, head to the healing fields.
Head to the healing field. Okay, go to the healing fields. No, I'm looking forward to it. Do you know what it is? I'm looking forward to like seeing music and like seeing all my mates and doing the gig and stuff like that and spending time with Lou and just chilling out. I can't get on board with the whole just shitting and pissing and not showering in the dirt. And like, I feel like I'm too old for that now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like nice things, Josh.
I am worried about the toilet.
I don't like it when our toilet hasn't got diffuser in.
I am worried about the toilet sober.
Oh, God. I've not thought about that.
That's my worry.
The worst case scenario for you, right? You go there. You don't touch a drop of drink. That's fine. You know, you're all good. You have something to eat. Bit dodgy tummy, food poisoning. Sober.
Oh, my God.
Portaloo.
Yeah. I once went to Glastonbury when I was... I must have been about 21, 22, something like that. And we were still of the age where I had no money, so we brought all of our own drink.
Yeah.
I had to walk across site with vodka in plastic bottles, and then we brought our own mixer. We brought Lilt.
Totally tropical-tasting Lilt.
It was totally tropical-tasting Lilt. And it was a hot year, and we left it in the tent. And then we were like, right, let's have some vodka and Lilt. And it was the temperature of...
Yes.
A tea that you'd leave, but you'd still drink. Do you know what I mean? Tea that you've left a bit too long, but you'd still drink it because it's warm enough. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's what's weird about iced coffee, isn't it? Because if you have a normal coffee and it gets cold, it's the most disgusting thing on planet Earth. But an iced coffee, fine. It's that medium temperature coffee.
I tell you what you wouldn't have, mate. Hot Lilt and vodka. So I had a pint of hot Lilt and vodka at about midday.
Oh, and see, I can't drink a beer unless it's ice cold.
No, and I thought that was horrible, but, you know, it'll do the job. And then I'd say within 5 minutes, I was having chest pains like I've never had before.
Why are you getting chest pains?
I don't know. The heat of the bubbles and I don't know. I've never, like, chest pains like I've never had before. Like, I thought, am I having a heart attack? Right. And I thought, it's the hot Lil. I've got to throw up. And until you've thrown up hot Lil into one of the long drops where you can see, you know, like where it's like 20 holes onto a pit. And normally you're not looking down, but when you're throwing up, you can see everything that's going in through all the other holes.
Oh no.
And what's on the bottom and in the baking sun. And I'd say after that, I can do anything in those toilets, mate. Never drank Lilt again.
Do you know what I think is, and I'm actually looking forward to going, but what I find difficult is that I had radio on and I think everyone's just too positive about it. When they go like, it's the greatest place on earth. Oh my God. It's like, you know, it's about being, and like, I feel like it's built up too much. And
under promise, over deliver. They haven't learned that
with Glastonbury. And like, I don't know if it's nostalgia of people went when they were young and it was amazing from when they went like, I love Zobel. And she was on the radio talking about someone, oh, we're in the queue to be the first in the Glastonbury. We've been sat here for 4 hours and Zobel's like chatting, going, oh God, there's nothing like the queue to Glastonbury, is there? I'm like, pardon? Oh, it's great. Is everyone just sort of like, you know, you're in the queue to Glastonbury? I'm like, I don't ever want to be in a queue.
No.
There is something like, but it's like, don't try and make the queue magical.
No. I was once in the queue at Castle Kerry Station. Getting the train there is tough, man. And there was like there'd been a crash in the country lanes to Glastonbury, so we were basically stuck on the platform of Castlecary Station. So busy that we were stood up. I couldn't sit down in the baking heat with our backpacks on for 2 hours, and it was fucking unbearable. Yeah,
there's nothing like being stood up in the sun.
There's nothing like it, Rob.
When it's the Glasto queue.
And then we got on the shuttle bus, and no joke, some absolute got out his acoustic guitar.
Oh, no. You ain't giving me itchy. Right, anyway. Let's talk about parenting.
Anyway, sorry, someone said I swear too much on this. They said,
well, tell them to go fuck themselves and stop listening then. Who are they? Your mum? I find that you swear a bit. I couldn't give a shit. Don't listen then.
But it was me. They chose me. They picked out me.
I think I swear a bit more for effect. You swear a bit more in turn of phrase.
I just don't even think about it.
Yeah. Also, I think when you're working class, you get away with swearing more. If you're slightly better spoken, it's more jarring.
How's parenting been, Rob?
Well, we've got a lot going on at the moment because we've moved house.
Yeah.
We don't know where anything is. But we did go to... So a couple of things happened. Lou ordered an Ocado shop to the old house.
Oh, no.
Absolute classic. No. This mic's genuinely too big. I can't... What I've done is I've moved your screen down to look at my notes and remember what to tell you. And then you're too low and this fucking microphone's so big. It's like peering around a bush.
it's like you're a peeper.
Little peeping Tom. So Lou sent the Ocado to the wrong house, which was a lovely little trip out for us. This is what we went to. It went to my daughter. You know, my daughter did recorder class.
Yeah.
So there was a junior school music performance. It was like in the big hall and they all had to perform in front of all the audience, the parents that have paid for tickets and stuff. So it was like a big gig. And it was all like the year sixes from year one to year six doing stuff. So it was like, there was like a little orchestra doing violins and cellos and all that. And it was quite impressive. Yeah. And a lot of singing from the choir. Anyway, she came out and did her recorder. And I was, because she was really nervous about going. And then we sort of like convinced her to go. Anyway, she came out and she did it. You know, she did brilliantly and it was amazing, but it was so lovely to see. But what's interesting is like, it's a 45-minute performance and I she did two songs, Hot Cross Buns and another one. And I'd say she was in the show for what could have been 3 minutes. I'd say 90 seconds. Yeah. And I've sat through 45 minutes of other people's children performing and I've never experienced such sort of like life affirming magic of like, oh my God, my beautiful daughter is up there confident performing and she was nervous and she's worked really hard and she's got, and like, you sort of like, and I cried, Josh, during the Hot Cross Buns. I cried because I was so overawed with emotion and it was incredible.
It's an emotional song.
And to jump, of course, and to one a penny, two a penny. It gets me every time. but I was genuinely like, this is incredible. And then I've never gone from that to complete boredom so quickly when someone else's kid starts playing an instrument. I've never cared so much and so little within... Because if you watch like, a football match and you really care, there's a bit of a come down, isn't there, after the game? Or, you know, oh, yeah, okay. But this was instantaneous. Oh, for fuck's sake, I'm here now for 40 more minutes. And don't get me wrong, they're all good. They're very good at singing. They're all very good. But you could find the greatest violin player in the world and I still wouldn't give a shit and watch.
Well, Rob, that's a good lesson for Glastonbury. It's a good lesson for Glastonbury. I'll tell you why.
Go on.
Don't go and watch bands you're not interested in seeing because other people are going.
Yes. Okay, it's a good tip.
Because those other children at school, Rob, they are Heim. They are Warpaint. They are fucking Royal Blood. They are the bands that someone else is going to. You feel you might as well tag along,
but
you're bored out of your fucking bonds.
So what would you do instead then? Just go and sit somewhere?
I'm going on my own. I'm flying my own race this year. The old phrase, flying my own race.
I've been thinking about flying my own race, but I don't understand what it means.
I've decided
you're going to march to the beat of your own drum.
Michael is a classic race flyer of his own race.
Sorry, is this an actual phrase?
No, it sounds
a bit racist.
Yeah, sorry. Oh, yeah, good point.
Flies the flag of his own race.
Yeah, I'm not flying my own race. Just to be clear.
Michael turns up at every Glastonbury with his white is right flag.
I'm not flying my own race. I'm going to go and see Laura Carner. It's fine.
You're flying your own race. You just go and see all the white acts.
I'm going to go and see Lizzo. I'm not flying my own race. Okay, let's be very clear on that.
Fair enough.
Okay. No. there's nothing worse than being stood in the field thinking, oh, fuck, another hour of this shit because I couldn't be bothered to walk in a different direction to my friends.
Okay, and so that's, go it alone.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it?
It's, well, yeah, but I couldn't just leave the school hall.
You couldn't just leave. You couldn't just leave the school hall. No.
And they were great as well. It wasn't like they were bad. I just don't care about other people's children.
No, of course you don't.
And they don't care. They don't want to watch my daughter do recorder.
And let's be honest, Rob, they're shit. Because our daughters are shit. But we don't realise it ourselves, Rob.
No, they're actually all
shit.
Good.
Oh, come on now, Rob.
No. I'm not saying...
On the grand scheme of things.
No. I'd say in the grand scheme...
You've seen better musicians.
Not of children.
But generally.
Yeah, I know, but that's not a fair judgment. Is it?
Exactly. It's like watching, you wouldn't go and watch
children. Watching Floyd Mayweather get beaten by a pulp by Tyson Fury and then saying he's rubbish at boxing. He isn't. Fury's just bigger than him.
No, but what I'm saying, Rob,
is
children are bad at things.
They were good. I mean, you're very limited with a recorder. They couldn't have played Three Blind Mice or Hot Cross Buns, whatever it was, any better. And that is the limitation of the recorder, but it was efficient and it was good. Yeah. And all the other singing
I'm not,
was good.
I'm not saying it wasn't good. What I'm saying is that there's...
Are you saying my daughter's shit?
No, I'm saying musically...
Yeah.
All children are shit.
I'd say I was actually pleasantly surprised by the quality of the show. What I was saying was, even though it was of a high standard, I still didn't care.
Yes.
At all. And you have to... It's a lot of... It's like going to Glastonbury just for Elton John.
Yeah.
You've got to
sit through the other things.
And there's nothing wrong with Arctic Monkeys.
Well, there might be. But yeah, I know what you mean. It's difficult, isn't it? Because when we went to the Christmas thing, reception went on first as well. So you're on first.
Yeah, I'm contemplating, this is my plan. You sit by the exit and you say to a teacher, or if they're a little bit too stiff neck, find, you know, what are they called at school? The groundskeeper?
The groundskeeper?
You know, the person with all the keys and the big mops, normally?
Yeah, the...
what are they called? School caretaker.
Caretaker.
Give him a tenner and go, mate, can you come in and just whisper in my ear and say, oh, sorry, sir, I think you need to move your car once my daughter's been on. She's in recorder club.
Like when George Bush got told about 9/11.
Exactly that. And then I can go, oh, sorry, mate, and then shuffle out and it looks like... Yeah. And then I'm out.
Yeah.
I think that's my plan going forward.
How about this?
Yeah.
Get someone to ring your phone at past 12.
Yeah.
And you get it out of your pocket and just under your breath, you go, oh God, no.
I think that's too much because it looks like I'm just taking a call.
No, but no one's going. He shouldn't take that call.
Yeah, but then further afield in the hall, people won't have heard the oh God, no.
Oh, not, oh my God, I've got to answer this. Oh my
imagine
God.
Imagine that. Do, do, do. Oh my God.
Oh shit. Oh my God. It's my agent. This could be big.
No, that's bad. I think I'm going to slip the caretaker a tenner.
They've changed the dates for Rob and Ramesh. Can I fly on a Tuesday?
The other things I want to talk to you about.
Yep.
So the new house move, we've put grass seed down.
Yeah.
To grow grass, obviously, because it's just mud at the moment at the front.
Yeah.
And it's really exciting, Josh, because it grows really quick.
Does it?
But it's weird because you sort of look at it and go, is that grass coming from? Because it's all brown, but it's like little bits. I feel a bit like when I was like 11 trying to find pubes on my body.
It's not an image. That's just a horrible image.
Yeah, but you're just looking at it just above your penis and you go, is that a little bit of sprouting? Is it germinating down there?
I
was obsessed with getting pubes.
Yeah, I don't think I just did it, mate.
I've noticed that certain age, men just either like get into the lawn, barbecuing or cars.
Oh, lawn, man. I had a small lawn in our last house. It drove me mad. I was too much of a perfectionist when it came to the lawn.
Is that where you're going to go, Astro? You going Astro?
We've got Astro here.
Better?
Well, it's not better in terms of look, but in terms of space in my mind for other things, it has emptied out a huge amount of lawn worries.
I do think if you've got kids and a smallish garden in London, and you don't get much light on it, you've got to go Astro.
You've got to go Astro, mate. You've got to go Astro.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just fighting a losing battle. You're just fighting a losing battle. Mud in winter, too hard in summer.
And it's just not really not a proper lush lawn. It's just puby like mine.
What is your obsession with pubes?
This is funny as well. You know our cat? So we got our cat that basically loves being outside. He just doesn't like coming in. He's outside all the time. And he's got space in the new house to come in like away from the dog and all that. But even before we got a dog, he didn't come in the house much just to eat and drink. Anyway, so we've got in this little hutch thing around the corner. So I thought, well, if he can't, you know, because he doesn't come in, sometimes we haven't got a cat flap at this house. So when we shut the doors, like we've got a little hutch, like a warm hutch thing for him,
yeah.
That he can go to if he wants to escape from anything. He can go in there and there's food and drink and a bed and it's got a heater thing in it. So it's all warm, so somewhere for him to go. He's not always around to let him in at night.
Yeah.
And we've not seen him for ages, but then we've realised there's like a, near our house, there's like a cat rescue place, right? And so there's cats everywhere. I think he's gone there.
You think your cat has handed himself in to cat rescue?
Well, I think he likes other cats and there'll be food and drink out all the time and loads of other cats to sort of chill out with.
Yeah.
So I think we were tempted to knock on there and go, look, we've got a cat, but he don't really come home much. We worried that he may have handed himself in. But Lou was on the website last night looking at cats to adopt in case he's been put up. Because he was like, we don't mind that. If he's floating between us, and because it's like there's loads of space for him to explore.
You've got to go and ask.
Well, yeah, so we're going to go and ask. Look, here's our cat. Like we do put out food and water for him. He's got a place to come in and out, but he just sort of wanders. So if you see him and he looks a bit rough around the edges, let us know. But don't put him up for adoption. He's chipped anyway, so it should be a problem. They're taking him back to the old place with the Ocado. Still haven't done that. You have to do so many address changes. This is a funny
joke. It's awful. It's fucking awful.
Yeah, I was looking on the cats to adopt page last night just in case he'd been snuck in, but he hasn't, so I'm sure he's fine.
Did I ever tell you about when I took a stray cat back to the vet?
No.
So there was this stray cat that it turned up for a couple of months. We started feeding it, so it became quite a loyal knocker on our door. And we were like, I don't think this is a neighbourhood cat. Maybe we should take it to the vet and see if it's been chipped. So we got it in a box, like a cat box.
Yeah.
And I took it to the vet and I was like, "There's no, you know, you just think they're just going to go, you can keep this cat."
Yeah.
And they came out and they were like, "Yeah, it's chipped. It's someone who lives about a mile away. So we're going to take it to them." And then they were like, "Do you want to come and say goodbye?"
Did you?
No, because I didn't know what I'd say. I was like,
what did you say?
I didn't know. Like, because would the vet be there and then they'd be judging me on what I said to the cat? Like,
yeah, because I think there are levels to pet ownership where I think we've got pets and dogs. And I know you take me
but it wasn't our pet.
Yeah, no, but like you've got your cats and stuff. Like, but I do love Fred. I know I moan about it a bit, but. especially in the new house, there's a bit more space. It's a lot more chilled. But, there are people above where it's like they're not even like family members. It's like beyond family members. It's sort of like it's a real, they're really into it. Well, is cats in the countryside a bit more of a sort of loose, free flowing format? Would you say
dogs? When I grew up, our dog and cat would just go in and out.
Really?
Yeah.
Wouldn't your dog run away though?
No. I don't know why it wouldn't. Just didn't.
Nowhere to go, innit?
Yeah.
Ages away to anything else.
Exactly. There's nothing to run to.
The spa's 2 miles down a hill. No dog wants that.
My dad for a period had racing pigeons.
Right. Let's unpack that. Where do we race them? How do you race a pigeon? It's just sort of like whoever gets back first, basically.
So what would happen is you'd have to train them.
How?
So the way you train them, it's fucking incredible that pigeons can do this.
Yeah.
Right. So basically what happened is my dad... I think that we had an injured pigeon turned up and he kind of nursed it back to health. He just got into pigeons and started keeping pigeons, racing pigeons.
Like Mike Tyson or
Duncan Ferguson.
Yeah, I think if someone gets into pigeons, I sort of feel like, is everything okay?
So what would happen? It's incredible. So that you get the pigeons in their pigeon basket and you start by driving maybe a few hundred yards away and release them and then they fly back to the pigeon loft.
Right.
And then you just do it further and further, and they've just got this homing instinct.
Yeah.
And then with pigeon racing, they'd literally get taken to places, different places in the country. Sometimes they get taken to mainland Europe, like to Belgium.
Yeah.
All these different people's pigeons, and they put a ring on their leg, and that's what you'd use to say what time they got home, because you put it in your timer and it would stop the timer.
Right.
To prove that you're not lying. So the pigeons would fly. They'd be released in Antwerp. And then they'd just fly straight back to the loft.
How long does it take to get from Antwerp to the loft?
I don't know. A few hours? I don't know. Isn't it mad that they can do that? But then we had this massive tree in the garden that the pigeons like to go in.
Yeah.
And you can't stop the clock until the pigeon gets to you so you can take the thing off the leg. So they fly all the way up from back from Antwerp and just sit in this tree. And then my dad would be in the garden, like, shaking their food, going, come on! Come on!
Oh, that's good. I didn't know about that, about pigeons, Josh.
Yeah, homing pigeons. That's why they used them during the war as well, presumably.
And, oh, talking of pets, we're calling the new dog Georgie, Porgy, Pudding and Pie.
Yeah, you've said that. Yeah.
But that means you've got Fred and George, and people keep saying to me, oh, because of Harry Potter, and I don't even know what that means.
Oh, is that the Weasleys?
Yeah, so... But
no, isn't that Ron?
I don't know. Yeah, but I think it might be his brothers or something.
Oh,
but I'm like, I've never watched Harry Potter or read it.
No.
I didn't know about Fred and George.
It is fucking pathetic when grown-ups are into Harry Potter.
Oh, Josh, that's a dangerous game to play.
I don't care if we lose. Listen, I'm quite controversial today, aren't I? Children are shit at music. Harry Potter's for kids, not grown-ups. They're upset.
I think if the person that likes Harry Potter accepts, oh, yeah, it's because I read it as a kid and I loved it in a nostalgic way. But people go, no, actually, it's like, you're like, grow up. Come on, mate. It's a magic.
Oh, now you've joined in. Bloody joined in. If you were a grown-up, yeah, if you were a kid when Harry Potter came out, fine.
Yeah.
But accept it.
The adults that are really into it.
I enjoy reading Roald Dahl to my kids. That's fine.
But yeah, I'm not a Harry Potter fan. But yeah, I'm worried people are just going to say that to me all the time.
Yeah,
and
that
I just go,
is
what?
Bad.
No, absolutely not. Josh, have you got anything you want to talk about parenting-wise, or should we want to do some correspondence?
It's just been very quiet parenting-wise, in that it's been going fine. I know that's the last thing anyone wants to hear. We started booking summer holiday clubs, basically. We're filling up summer holiday.
Oh, are you? So
yeah.
What's the plan?
Art clubs. We're going to Whitstable. We're going to Norfolk.
What, for a little holiday?
We're just filling.
A couple of days.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. We're doing things. We're just filling it because we've heard it's just a nightmare if you don't fill it.
Yeah, it's a balance where you want to fill it with stuff so you've got a plan, but also you don't want to overfill it because then you don't get any rest time.
Exactly.
Because this is your first summer where you're...
This is my first summer.
Where your daughter's not been in, like, full-time nursery.
Well, she was never in full-time nursery, but yeah.
Term-time nursery.
Yeah, yeah. So here we bloody go, mate. We're ready. We're bringing it on.
You'll be right.
Yeah, fine.
Did we do a couple of correspondence?
Yes, let's do correspondence, Rob. Okay. Kids hairdresser requests? Hi, Rob and Josh. I was listening to a recent episode where you asked people to write in about any odd requests at the hairdressers.
Oh, yeah, my daughter wanted it longer, didn't she?
Yeah. When my oldest son was about 5, I took him to the hairdressers and he asked what sort of haircut he liked. He fished around in his pocket and brought out a Lego minifigure, which he showed to the hairdresser.
Amazing.
He basically wanted his hair to look like a Lego piece. The hairdresser's attempt to recreate this plastic molded hairdo did not live up to my son's expectations, and he never made that mistake again. Thanks, Caroline. I think that is too tough, the Lego hair, isn't it? They're never going to match that.
Well, it's just too neat, isn't it? It depends on the Lego piece, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
There are subtle differences. Here, I've got Marty McFly in front of me. He's here.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a little foot. And then this one, Doc says quality. That.
Oh, that is good.
I'm building Back to the Future car at the moment.
Yeah. How is that people who read Harry Potter need to grow up attitude coming on, Rob?
Do you know what? It's because I just keep it to myself, the Lego.
Yes.
I don't bang on about it or go, oh, muggle.
Oh, God, I'll tell you what.
I don't start using, like, terms from Lego for people, do I?
I tell you what you don't do, Rob. Say someone is, like, a classic Hufflepuff.
See, do you know what it is? That's what annoys people about Harry Potter is, fair enough you like it and you're an adult, get on with it, whatever. But it's when they use the terminology and you go, pardon, and they're like, God, classic Hufflepuff. What does that mean? The only way I've had to look, Expelliarmus is, like, when they do a trick in it.
Yeah,
a potion or something.
Spell. Yeah.
Spell. Yeah, what is Hufflepuff?
It's one of the houses. Gryffindor, Hufflepuff, Slytherin, and another one. Gryffindor. Harry Potter's in Gryffindor, and the baddies are in Slytherin, aren't they?
And the baddies are blonde again, aren't they?
Yeah, Draco Malfoy.
Always the way. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the blonde people being the little weird, evil ones. Happens all the time. Rocky IV, Ivan Drago. Always baddies, the blonde ones. Donald Trump. Boris Johnson. These fictional figures. I don't know where they get their ideas from.
No.
Right, here we go. I've got one here. Hello. When me and my three younger siblings were kids, we would poke our tongue out to each other, a real bugbear of my mum's. So one day she threatened us with a spoon of mustard on our tongue if we did it again.
Oh, no.
I have a fabulous memory of my sister being put on a kitchen counter and being made to eat a tablespoon of mustard.
Oh, my God.
Being so stubborn, she declared, yummy, before bursting into tears whilst me and brothers roll about laughing. Oh, that's horrible.
Oh, my word. That's tough, isn't it?
I've heard stories of, like, friends of friends' parents, like, if they swore, actually rubbed soap on their kid's tongue, and that is fucking evil. And if you ever did that to a kid growing up, you're a horrible, horrible person. It's an awful thing to do. It's abuse. Anyway. Mustard, not a fan of that either. Anyway, another time, when I was three, maybe four, I went through the classic toddler biting phase. I bit my brother in the supermarket, so my mum pulled down my pants there and then and hit me on the bum. Oh, yeah, that's a good way to teach anti-violence, is violence. Apparently, that was the last time I bit anyone. Yeah, I would probably not do that as well if I was a distic bastard slapping my ass, my bare cheeks in front of the yogurts. Loving the podcast. Thanks for laughs. Like Josh, we're similarly sleep deprived. Good to know someone else has it bad as us. Ellen.
God, I was sent a while ago.
You're not that sleep deprived anymore, are you?
I'm having more sleep than you.
I know, it's awful.
The only person who gets more sleep than me, Rob, is Rose. Bit of fun.
Is it a little bit annoyed though? I could sense a little bit of
I think if you are the guy that makes the tea in the morning, you should at least be allowed to consistently joke about it.
Correct. Yeah. So what time are you getting up in the morning at the moment? 6:37 So you're up then, and is that because the kid's up or you're up before the kids?
My son. So my daughter will come into our room. Well, she came into our room at 6:15 this morning.
Yeah.
Then she went on the iPad. It was so loud that I woke up at 6.
Right. So you do iPad during the week?
Well, we do. She has to have 6:15, Rob.
See, no, we only do iPad at weekends.
Oh.
Oh, I didn't realise I was better than you. Oh, wow. Oh, that feels good, actually. Oh, wow. Okay. That feels good, actually, that I've actually got more of a handle on screen time than the old stiff necks. Interesting.
We don't do it at weekends, though.
Oh, don't you? Oh, okay, fair enough. Yeah, no, touche. Touche.
No, so she came in at 6:15.
Yep.
I wasn't ready to get up.
Fair enough.
So she played games on her iPad.
To be fair, when they woke me up at 5 a.m. for Father's Day, they had their iPads immediately, which is way too early and too
long. No, Rob. You win. You win, Rob. Don't make me feel better.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go and cry now. I'm gonna go and destroy the iPad, throw it in the bin.
I'd have a pint of hot Lilton vodka and I've got you back on the booze after that comment.
Yeah, exactly. So I then woke up about 6 myself.
Yeah.
I read my book, Rob.
You read your book? So, and your boy sleeps about 7?
No, he woke up about... He started making the odd noise about 6:15.
So you read your book for 15 minutes?
Managed to push it to about 6:45, if I'm honest.
Ooh, so you basically get up between like 6:30 and 7 most mornings.
Yeah.
And then, so you get up and make the tea, and the kids are downstairs with you and you're doing breakfast at that point.
No, my daughter will be in bed with Rose.
Right, while you're making tea?
Yeah.
Then you bring up the tea and you have tea in bed?
Well, I don't. I go back down. I like it downstairs, Rob.
On your own?
On my own, or with my son. With my son, really.
Yeah, okay. So you're up and about doing parenting stuff before Rose.
Look.
No, that's not...
We're both very happy with the deal we've struck.
Sure. And when you're working late, how will that affect the morning?
It hasn't happened in ages, actually.
Because you've not been on tour?
Not been on tour.
The touring really disrupts the family dynamic because it creates really resentment because you're knackered. Yeah. And then it's unfair on your partner.
Exactly.
Because...
But also you've been away, so they've been doing all the bedtimes. Yes. So it's very difficult to go, oh, come on now.
Mm.
You know, in many ways, everyone's a loser when you're on tour.
Well, I did a gig on Wednesday and I got home at midnight and then I was up at 5:30 for the kids. And then
everyone loses when you've got a gig.
Yes.
No one's happy.
The audience, the performer. Anyway, this is what my kids have been doing. They've been arguing about what to listen to in the car. So we've been doing a have a song each kind of thing.
Yeah.
But what they're doing is they go, no, I hate that one. So they try and ruin it for the sibling.
They veto the other ones. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't like that song. So they'll either put their hands over their ears and go la 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 la, and I said no, that's rude. You mustn't do that. If you don't like it, you can put your hands over your ears if you want, but don't ruin it for the other person. Yeah, yeah. You've got to go in a minute. So then what they've started doing to counteract that is singing along to it, but like so they're technically singing along, but actually ruining the song.
That is annoying. What are the songs? What kind of things are we look
so
Disney
on the mix at the moment is Spice Up Your Life, Spice Girls. Yeah. Watermelon Sugar, Harry Styles, Heart of Stone from Six, the musical. What else would be Levitating, Dua Lipa.
And how have they come across these? Radio 2?
No, not really. At school, friends, they love Stitches, Shawn Mendes, an Ed Sheeran song. They like I Like to Move It from Madagascar, but I've put them onto the original version, not the Will I Am one. It's much better. But yes, yeah, so there's a certain songs, but I've started banning them. If you've already had it this week, you've got to do a different one, or I choose.
Oh, that's good.
Because otherwise, you just listen to the same shit over and over again. Right. It's awful.
Rob, just a bit of time for small business shout out.
Okay, let me go first. Hi, Rob and Josh. Love your podcast so much. I would really appreciate it if you could do a small business shout out to my brilliant sister-in-law. She has recently set up a small business called The Little Barrow, selling hand-embroidered, 100% handmade cotton cardigans for 0 to 2-year-olds. So if you're 3, you haven't got a chance. Do you reckon that's because the cardigans start getting too big and take too long? I can't. I'll get bored in any ages above that. She has a range of beautiful colours and can personalise them with custom coloured thread.
Yes, please.
Perfect for newborn, Christmas, christening and birthday gifts. I've bought 5 myself. Well, she's very good at writing for a 0 to 2-year-old. And they are wonderful. Her Instagram handle is the_little_barrow. Thank you very much, Charlotte.
Hi, guys.
Thank you, Charlotte.
Hi, guys. Thank you for knocking it out of the park. God, that reminded me of that Ainsley Harriet clip that is one of my favourite things that's ever happened.
What's that?
Hello, Gene. What is it? He says, fucking hell, it's funny.
Hello, Gene. On this morning.
When
he surprises that old lady. Alison Hammond's already in there laughing in her face, giving her a telly. God. Then Alison, and then Ainsley Harriet comes in laughing in her face and she looks terrified.
Hi, guys.
Hello, Gene. That is so fun. I'll find it while you read this out and we'll play it.
Hi, guys. Thanks for knocking it out of the park at the Cardiff International Arena recently. No problems. Cheeky local small business shout out, please. I'm a counsellor based in Cardiff that specialises in working with mums because we all need a bit of backup with the mental load. My website is https://. DemelzaTherapy.co.uk. Demelza is spelled DemelzaDemelza. DemelzaTherapy.co.uk. I work exclusively online so mums can get support they need without having to leave the house. Thanks so much, Demelza. There we go.
Lovely. Here we go. I've got it here, Josh.
Oh, it's one of the great moments in the history of TV.
You ready for it, Josh?
Yep.
Why, hello, Jim.
Why hello, Jill? If you don't know what we're talking about, Google why hello, Jill.
And watch the YouTube full clip, it. And that is incredible. It's absolutely incredible. That's something for you to do.
Surprising an older lady with gifts, and Alison and Ainsley, I think, are very loud for her.
Yes.
And she looks absolutely petrified. It's so funny. Here we go. I've got another bit.
There's going to be more, because we've only got Ainsley Harriet here, who's going to do a treat dish for you. He's going to cook you a lovely treat in your very own kitchen. Here we go.
And it's funny, they put eyes on Ainsley and Jill.
See you on Friday.
Oh, bye.